Hello and welcome back to the First and Ten podcast. We'll once again continue our draft coverage. Today we are doing a massive wide receiver podcast. There are so many, and we sort of scrapped the 5-1 thing that we've done on pretty much every other position because we could probably talk about 50 guys if we really wanted to today. But we're going to do, I don't know, we'll do a few. We're going to do more than we would do on the other positions. This will definitely be the longest
Yeah.
show of all, but it's a group worth talking about. Joining me, first up, we've got Miles. How are you, mate?
Good. Excited to talk about the best wide receiver class in a while.
There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys. Ash, how about you, mate? How are you?
I'm good, thanks, bud. You?
Yeah, well, good. Thank you. Yeah, looking forward to this one because it's yeah, I think this is the best group by far of any position really, especially to
Yeah.
talk about for this sort of thing. A lot of fantasy relevant players and stuff like that. So
100%.
gonna sort of matter for everyone out there.
Yeah, wide receiver, offensive tackle, cornerback, but wide receiver, if I'm honest, is probably double
Yeah,
the other
it's so deep. It is. So we're saying just already recorded that some people are going to fall and there's going to be some steals late in this draft or mid rounds that. In another year, they're probably going quite a bit higher than they might do to may do in what we have about just over a month away now, or
Yeah.
6 weeks and all that. Yeah, be really excited to see where these players fall because yeah, it's going to be a lot of players that you're going to be drafting in fantasy this year and in the years coming. But let's crack straight on. Well, we got what it looks like a clear top three, really. Ash. Pick one of them. Where do you want to start? One of
Well,
those three.
we'll start with the obvious, which is where's he going to go in regards to, is he going to go at three? Is he going to go at four or is he going to go at five? And that's Marvin Harrison Jr. There's not really much. If you don't know about Marvin Harrison Jr. by now, then you haven't really been watching any college football for about 3 years. But obviously, Ohio State, 6'3", 209. Didn't do anything at the combine because he didn't need to. Kind of that Ja'Marr Chase sort of line. But he is flat out such a complete prospect. I've got him on my rankings very similar to AJ Green when he came out, and everyone was so high on him, but he's just a little bit of a thicker version of him, but can do pretty much everything that you want in a number one wide receiver. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting where he goes, but as a prospect, there isn't much to dislike about him, let's put it that way.
He is absolutely incredible. As you say, he's probably been spoke about as much as any receiver in this whole group, hasn't he? So we maybe don't need to do as much on him as we do on some of the others, but well, he's very fun to talk about. Miles, I mean, is there any real weakness you see with him?
I'd say sometimes, some I'd say out of all the receivers in the class, he isn't the best at high pointing the football. But that's not because he's bad at it. I just think there are other guys that are maybe a bit better at it, but he's still good at it. But yeah, I think most of his tape is just him being very, very good. And it's obviously that's college tape, but he's pretty much better than everyone else at everything. So yeah, I'd say his flaw isn't really a flaw. It's just that other people do it better. It's not something he's bad at. So yeah.
That's fair. I mean, as you said at the start, it's more about where he goes. I mean, give me a number. Where is he getting drafted?
I think he could go as high as three, and I think his floor is at five. I think that depending on if Arizona trade out or if New England trade out, there's obviously if there's four QBs that go in the top four, he would be the first non-QB that goes. I don't see that anybody else other than Marvin Harrison will be the first non-QB in the draft. So yeah, I think his floor is the Chargers, especially now with the news Keenan Allen's gone and Mike Williams was cut. So it's just crying out that that's his sort of floor, really. So I'd be absolutely astounded if he gets past five.
I mean, Miles, the Patriots sit at number three. They decided to do something weird.
We're taking Joe Alt at three. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
But
That's
what if I
the
go
talk.
Harrison? Well,
The thing
Harrison,
is,
Brissett and Harrison. How
yeah,
you feeling about that guy this
I
next
feel
year?
like it just we do we I think feel like we waste wide receivers when we draft them. Like he would not be good if we drafted him. We'd be the only team he wouldn't succeed on. So like yeah, I think he probably has a 1,000-yard rookie season with 31 out of the 32 NFL teams. And with us, he probably just about breaks the sacred 525. So yeah. I mean, obviously it'd be great if we drafted him, but I wouldn't be happy for him.
Yeah, I'd be delighted for me, not for him, which would be a shame. Right, well, we'll move on to number two today. There's lots been spoken about Harrison already, so you can probably find that in about a billion different places. But some of these other receivers that are right up there, maybe I haven't had quite as much spoken about them. Miles, give me a second player to talk about. Who do you want to chat about for
Well,
next?
the thing is, I was Rome has been my number two this whole time, and now it's Neighbors, so I'm
Yes.
gonna go with Malik Neighbors.
He is, yeah, I think he's just outrageous. I think he's so good. I mean, what's jumped him up above Rome for you?
I don't think the gap between Neighbors and Harrison is as big as everyone says it is. I think Harrison
I agree.
is the better player, but I don't think it's like Harrison and then a huge gap and then Neighbors and everyone else. I think it's more Harrison clearly above Neighbors, and then there's a you know then there are a few others, and then there's yeah I just he just again it's hard to find flaws in his game, which is sort of the thing that makes Harrison so good. I just think that yeah, I really am trying to be critical of all these players because you can't just watch the same thing. Yeah, he's amazing. He's gonna go first round. I'm gonna draft him in fantasy because that's not how it works. So I do try and be quite critical, and it was very, very hard to be critical of Malik Neighbors. And I think the main criticism of him is that he may be benefited from Brian Thomas on the same team. Being also a very good wide receiver and drawing some attention on some plays, I don't know how he would operate as an alpha. Whereas we know how good Marvin Harrison is on his own. Now all the other good wide receivers were drafted, you know, in previous years. Obviously, Abuka's still on the team, but yeah, I just think Neighbors. It's hard to criticize him. He is absolutely fantastic. I mean, I said this about Harrison as well, but Neighbors just glides across the field with his route running, a bit like Justin Jefferson. Like it's almost like a dance, you know? It's like ballet. It's just, yeah, he's very gracious with his route running, but he can also just turn on a dime, and he just controls his speed really well. Ball's in the air, he slows down, he speeds up. Defender doesn't know what to do. Yeah, it's just, yeah, he does everything really well. He's very close to flawless. But yeah, I think he's as elite as you can get without proving it at the next level, basically.
That's fair. I mean, Ash, we've seen some incredible players come out of that college in recent years. Where does he rank against some of these other LSU receivers that have come out? You know, obviously Jefferson and Chase have gone on to be incredible in the NFL, but actually at the point of him coming out, where do you see him compared to some of those players?
I checked my grades before I came on, and obviously Miles talked about Rome as well, but Harrison, Neighbors and O'Dunes are in my top 15 that I've ever scouted, and all three of them are in it. So they are that good in regards to this the top echelons of wide receivers that you see in the league at the moment. I don't think that landing spot will matter. I think any of these guys would make Justin Fields look good, to be honest. So I think that he's just one of them got these guys that all of them will be. I would say straight away they would go in regards to dynasty. I would say they'd go straight in at sort of like the top 18, in the top 18 wide receiver straight off the cuff after this draft.
I think that's very fair. Yeah, they've all got so much potential as well, haven't they? They're an incredible group. Well, you started talking about him. Number three. Well, we've already said it, but who have you got there?
Yeah,
Well, I've heard
Rome
of this
is
group.
just mad, and he—I mean, Miles can
Yeah.
talk about him because he was his number two before. But yeah, again, like as a, I think the combine summed it up in regards to when he tried to keep breaking his short shuttle. the guy is going to be one of them that when you draft him, he'll be the first guy there, last one out. He will work his butt off for that team. And like in regards to a prospect 6'3", 212, and what he can do, his best attribute is body control, and how he can basically use defenders, move them out the way in regards to where and sort of like position himself where he wants the catch to be. I mean, he's just so good on intermediate, deep and intermediate routes as well. It's just outrageous. Miles will carry on.
Weirdly enough, one of my main points on him was great body control, especially making adjustments to like back shoulder throws and stuff like that. Like, because again, he sort of leads the defender the opposite direction, and then he just plucks it out of the air, and it's amazing to see, really. It's like he has a like some other there are some other guys in the class that do this, but he has an idea of what he's doing with the football almost as it's being thrown. Like, he knows where the defender's going to be. He knows where the space is going to be to run into with the ball. And then his ball tracking is incredible as well. So you combine those things together. Ball's in the air. He knows how he's going to catch it and where he's going to be 10 yards down the field straight away. And he just, yeah, it's just the acceleration he produces. It's just, he's one of those players that becomes a bit of a running back when they get the ball in their hands. And then he can absorb hits really well. He doesn't body catch it a lot. He's just, yeah. I think the only thing I have that it really does irk me a bit is like, because he can do so much with the ball after the catch, he does tend to be a bit loose with it. And some of the fumbles he has on tape were quite predictable. You're like, he's gonna, yeah, there we go. So I think that again, that's something that maybe you can work out because they weren't terrible like we had with Marshawn Lloyd, for example. So we'll see. But I always do wince a bit when he runs into traffic with the ball in his sort of in his wing. But other than that, I do just really like what like he just he it was one of my most enjoyable players to watch. I think, there are two guys that are better than him. But I had more fun with Roma Dunze than I had with other people. He's just so much fun to watch. I can't wait until he's been drafted and I can watch training camp videos,
All three of these are going to be so good to watch. The next level, they're just fun, and I'll just really hope that they end up somewhere good. And
Not New England.
yeah, I mean, basically, just wants one of them at least to end up at the Chargers, and then they'll just go from there. They can sit just behind Quentin Johnson, can't they? He can show him the ropes. Right, well, we talked about the top three. After this, there's about 500 people that are just all very, very good. So I'm just going to throw it back and forward to each of you. You can pick whoever you like, and we'll talk about them for a bit. Miles, why don't you pick someone? Who's your favorite of these next lot? Doesn't have to be your next ranked. Who do you want to talk about the most?
Troy Franklin. I had so much fun watching Troy Franklin, and I weirdly enough, I started my notes on Troy Franklin when I was watching Bo Nix because I couldn't not talk about Troy Franklin. I was like, it was just really hard to just watch Bo Nix and not think Troy Franklin is a key part of this conversation because I think Bo Nix is bad. The first thing I wrote down with Troy Franklin was Nix didn't help, and he didn't. But Troy Franklin made Nix look a lot better than he is, and I think Troy Franklin is owed some money from Bo Nix when from where he gets drafted. I think he's probably going to go a round higher than he should. He's just really, really fast. He's better as a deep threat because of his speed. I don't think he's great over short and medium routes, but because he's so quick, he just gets separation quite easily, especially versus man coverage, which we see a lot more in the NFL. But then against zone, he's good at finding that sweet, juicy soft spot in the middle. He has good twitch. He has that little shake, 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 which just sort of fakes defenders out on when he's running routes. And yeah, he's just so much fun to watch. And when he gets the ball in his hands, he's explosive. And then, he's honestly, yeah, he made Bo Nix's job a lot easier, despite Nix seemingly trying to make it hard for everyone else. So yeah, he's just got that mix of speed, twitch, but also has physical prowess, like he can high point the ball, absorb hits and stuff like that. But yeah, I think so, there are some drops on tape, and I was like, oh, okay. You can high point the ball downfield or run underneath it and scoop it up and go, but then you'll just drop it here, here, and here. So there are some question marks, but he's great fun to watch, honestly. Like, he's so much fun.
I mean, you mentioned Knicks there and sort of probably being raised up by playing with someone like him. I mean, is that a concern with someone like Jaden Daniels as well? I know we've done the quarterbacks already, but we're
I
going to have
did say that.
two.
I after watching Thomas and Neighbors, I was like, I think my rank on my grade on Daniels was a bit too high now, because those got I mean, I was talking a lot about, stuff he does in the pocket and his mobility, but those guys, there are some touchdowns that he just gives them the ball and then they do everything else. I'm like, yeah, I get playing quarterback is hard, but those guys made it a bit less hard. But yeah, Franklin really helped Knicks out a lot.
Sure. Ash, I mean, who is your favorite player to watch? So again, not necessarily your next in the rankings or anything, but who's your favorite player to watch out this next lot of players?
I mean, if you want to stick on the tape and enjoy some tape, then stick on Ricky Pearsall out of
Yeah,
Florida. I
that's right.
mean, there's I can't remember the team that he had that catch against. It was a Twitter sensation for a while for anyone who was following College Game Day and everything. But if you just watch the highlights, you would think Ricky Pearsall was like the best receiver in the class. Like some of his highlights are outrageously good. Very smooth, very quick. Like he is a very, very, very good wide receiver. Obviously, won't dive into everything too much. Slightly undersized, I would say, but everything else, like you would say, like obviously his arm length and height and span is not huge, not great, but vertical was 42, broad was 129, 92nd percent on 98% on 94th. So everything like three cones and burst and everything like that. I mean, I don't think he's going to fall much further than, I mean, there was talk that he'd go in the first, probably a bit rich for me, but late second is probably his floor, to be honest. Has that. I think Daniel Jeremiah put up that his combine stats and just how he is as a prospect was very, very similar to Chris Olave's stats coming out in regards to size and metrics. I think Olave's a far more polished route runner, but Ricky Pearsall is an not maybe not underrated now, but he is definitely one of them guys. If you're saying he's going to go as like wide receiver, maybe seven, something like that. It's pretty crazy to get someone that talented as the wide receiver seven in this class.
Yeah, for sure. Miles, who do you want to talk about next? You've got some good
Let's
ones
see.
still on the board.
Just got a list, really.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I'll go with. I will go with the other LSU sensation, Brian Thomas Jr.
Good place to go.
He
I mean, I'm a
is
Black fan.
just, yeah. I mean, when I said to you guys earlier on in the chat, I said I watched Junior and then I watched Neighbors, and I was like, right, this Neighbors is surely not going to beat this guy, and he did, which is kind of a tribute to how good Neighbors is. But Thomas is so good. Like, he's good enough to be sort of a standalone receiver on another team, like on his own when he gets drafted at the next level. I think he's very hard to bring down for his size. He's very agile, and like, there was this really he had a couple of really filthy jukes against Mississippi State and Texas A&M, where he just made these defenders look stupid. And he's just, I just think someone of his size and physicality, it's a surprise when they do that. Again, like I said with, I think it was Neighbors, no, with Odunze, he knows where he's going with the ball before he gets there, before he gets the ball, and he gets there in a hurry. Like, he accelerates off the mark so quickly, and then you're just like, wow, he's just gone. Like, again, there are some plays on film where I was just like, whoa. Like, he just lights up and takes off. But he does have that tendency to try and turn everything into something way more than it is, which at the next level probably will result in him being stuffed behind the line or getting the ball punched out or something like that. He does also have a few very bad drops on film. Like, you're like, how? But yeah, I just had great fun watching him. He's explosive. Great long speed. difficult to bring down. But yeah, he's just, yeah, I honestly, like, him and Neighbours together really, really pumped up the stock of Daniels. I still like Daniels, but yeah, something else, man.
I don't know how someone that tall is that fast.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
He's
ridiculous, but
six.
it's not, yeah.
He's 6 foot 3, and he ran the 40 in 4.33.
Yeah, he's just stupid.
My comp was Calvin Ridley, but obviously he's just quicker. So, like, that's the sort of prospect that you kind of got from
Yeah.
Brian Thomas. It's pretty mad.
Fast Calvin Ridley sounds pretty good for me.
Pretty good. Yep.
Yeah, he's one of them players. I can see him going quite high, dropping a bit. I just really don't know where he's gonna go, but I think wherever he lands, it's gonna be pretty fun. Ash, who's your next guy? Who do you want to talk about?
Shall we talk about, let's talk about Keon Coleman. Let's talk about Keon Coleman. Because obviously the 40 time wasn't great for him, but if you actually watch his tape, Florida State, some of the catches that he is, like, again, it's kind of like similar to Rome in regards to end zone. Sort of the body control and how he can go up and get the ball, high point the ball is just outrageous. My comp with him was Mike Williams. And I think that he's pretty similar in that regard. He's such a big dude. If you saw him at the combine, gained 6'3", but he carries it so well. What was interesting, I would say, out of the whole combine stats was the gauntlet. So during the gauntlet, even though his 40 time was the slowest, during the gauntlet, he was the quickest, which was mad to hear. And obviously, when you dig into it and listen to analysts talk about it, they say the reason he was so quick is because he trusts his hand so much. So he was just running through the gauntlet, whereas other guys were, say, maybe weaving in and out a bit or maybe not running as quickly, but he was just flying through it. So hands are a major plus point with him. And yeah, again, I think that even though he's probably fallen down the ranks in some regards because he's not as much of a darling, didn't put up as many sort of big time stats as some of the other guys have, in regards to receiving yards, etc., over the coming season, he is still a very, very, very good wide receiver. And again, someone with a big arm, someone that is quite accurate, put it high points it. I think that if he can fall to the right place, it could be a very, very good player in the next level.
Yeah, it was a shame about that combine, really, because he was someone I was excited for. And then, I think the hard thing is when you've got so many good players, little things like that are just going to
Yeah,
drop
they'll
you
just
down, aren't
drop the
they?
tiers, or they'll just tweak, oh, we'll take this guy over him because he's got
Yeah.
X or, because you kind of know what you've got with Keon Coleman. He's not going to be like, he's not ridiculous in regard. I mean, you could use him as a big body slot in some aspects, because he's still got that in and out speed, but it's just kind of like you kind of still know what you've got in regards to he's still his predominantly where his bread and butter is going to be on that outside.
Miles, who've got next?
Let's go with Roman Wilson out of Michigan. He is a good slot wide receiver, but he can also sort of play anywhere. I think he's a bit too sensible after the catch. Like, he's a bit too conservative. But a bit like in the same way, Tyler Lockett is, but that's good for longevity. He kind of just takes what's there and he sits down. He's not going to try and do too much, but he's a very reliable option in that system. He has great hands. He doesn't really have the frame as much, but he's got a very, very good football brain. He just seems to catch absolutely everything that comes to him, and he's always seems to be open. But he did play with a good QB in McCarthy. So that kind of, yeah. I think he was utilized a lot in a good system that works for him. So I don't see him as sort of a guy that's going to be a huge difference maker at the next level. But he was just so good to watch in that system. And, who knows? Who knows where an ex-Michigan coach might draft him? So, we will see, because, yeah,
I
it's
mean,
just. It's gonna be interesting.
It's not. It's not like that Michigan coach needs a load of wide receivers, is it? Really? So, doubt they'll be on there. Doubt they'll be on his radar.
And a
Ash,
4.39 as well.
also,
So yeah.
he's definitely interesting. But I think he's gonna be one of these players that maybe goes a little later, but is still a really good player. Even though, maybe another year he might go a little higher, but. I think he might be one of these players that drops a little, but yeah, I think he's still someone who can definitely produce at the next level. Ash, is there anyone that is rated highly that you aren't keen on? It's hard in this group because they're all really good, but is there anyone sort of stand out that you may think is a little overrated?
I would say that maybe people, I mean, probably the one that would pop up for maybe most people, I would say, is maybe Xavier Worthy. In regards to, I still don't think he's a bad receiver though. Like, my comp for him is Jameson Williams, but I wasn't hugely high on Jameson Williams when he was coming out. But again, I still think that probably his floor is Jameson Williams and like his ceiling's like Marquise Brown, Hollywood. So, like, I mean, that 40 time was absolutely outrageous, but at 4.21. But if you watch him on tape, you see it like. He's got that sort of Jalen Hyatt, just absolute. When he goes, you're never catching him. He broke onto the scene really, really early as well. So he's got them years under his belt, even though like some of the aspects of his game, you sort of don't. Will it translate to the NFL? But you can't really argue with the numbers he's put up for Texas over the few years that he's been there. So I wouldn't say he's a player that I'm down on. Maybe I'm just not as high on as, I mean, if you hear Mel Kiper talk, he reckon he's going like in the top between 15 and 20, which is mad. Like, don't know if he'll go that high, but I mean, Mel Kiper's he keeps his ear to the ground. He kind of knows what's going on. And that speed, that blazing speed, is like you can't really argue against it. So that's kind of maybe where the NFL is sort of going in that direction. So. Wouldn't shock me, but it's probably a little bit pricey for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of faith that was he 165 pounds,
Yeah,
but that can
165, yeah.
translate. I mean, I think he's the exact same weight as Tank Dell was last year, but I mean, they're very
Yeah.
different builds and stuff, aren't they? But I think people will sort of use Dell as a reason, but we haven't seen too many players come in at that sort of weight and actually succeed, have we?
Yeah.
It's a tough one with him, but yeah, definitely someone who's that speed is going to get him drafted fairly high, isn't it? Straight off the bat, we've seen it so
Yeah.
many times over the years where. Someone runs fast, they're going to get drafted. Miles, anyone you're not as keen on as sort of maybe the general consensus?
Well, weirdly enough, I actually was going to say Xavier. Like, Worthy was my guy for that because, like, a lot of people talk about him like he's better than AD Mitchell, but I think AD Mitchell is probably on the same level as him. Someone I'm not too keen on, weirdly enough, I wasn't too keen on Ricky Purcell from Florida, actually. But yeah,
If you
I don't
watch
know.
his tape, it's just amazing, though. Like his
Yeah, but the thing is, like,
highlight tape, his
there are a
highlight
lot
tape.
of like Hollywood
Yeah, they are.
catches,
There's
but
some
then there are
Hollywood
also a lot
catches.
of him just,
Yeah.
he's a very good run blocker and he's pretty much a not good at a lot of other stuff. But I don't know. It's just, yeah, I wasn't overly high on him. But as he's already been said, I'll go with, who will I go with? I've just got such high grades on everyone. Okay, Johnny Wilson out of FSU.
Fair enough. I think that's fine.
I
Big guy,
I'm
6'7".
yeah, I just I don't know. I just I like him, but not that much. Again, like I like pretty much all of these guys. It's just very, very difficult to,
That's the thing. When we're saying we don't like some of these, it's not like they're bad. It's just that like it is an insane group. So you're picking holes in players that are just still very good players or can be very good players, aren't you? It's not like these are bad players. Even players that are going to go in like the fifth round in this draft are still going to be good players.
It's just I think with him it's like because of his build you kind of think he might play in a similar role as like a tight end sometimes, which those short zone check down sort of thing, but that's sort of what he does, but you kind of want to see more and he just doesn't, like he doesn't have the speed to get downfield really, and when he does he obviously naturally wins all these 50-50s. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like he should play more like a tight end, but doesn't. And I think he just tries to do things outside of his skill set a bit much. Like, I don't think he's great outside the numbers. You know, usually you see tight ends dominate the middle of the field, and I think that's where he needs to stay because that's where I think he excels. He's like a freak in terms of stature. Off the line, he's very quick for his size, but he just doesn't have that. You know, in a class full of speed burners, he's just going to fall behind. Like, he's just not that guy. But he has it in him to, you know, he's not you're not going to jam him at the line, are you? He's got good release for his size, but he's not that quick. And yeah, I just think he needs to sit in the middle of the field, which is very predictable. And any team that drafts him is going to have a tight end that does that. So it's, yeah, I like him. I think he was a nice target in at FSU because, you know, he's hard to miss. But yeah, I just don't really think he's that great. But I don't think he's bad at all. I think he has his place in a team, but it'll be as a third option that will help you stretch the field in a 50-50 ball, but won't stretch the field in a way of, yeah, we need to stick extra guys back there to keep up with him.
I feel like we haven't seen too many players of that sort of build and style that have actually worked out really at the next level. Do you think? There's been a
Yeah,
few of
not
them in
many
the recent
still.
years, and not many of them. I can't really think of
Nah.
anyone that's actually like translated to the NFL so far.
Nope.
Miles, you might as well carry on. Someone you do like. So still a few on there, isn't there? They're definitely worth talking about. Who you've got next?
Okay, I really, really like Brendan Rice. I think,
Very
you
well
know,
considered.
like, yeah, I mean, you have to like him just due to his pedigree. But I, you know, watching him, I thought, oh, okay, I'm just gonna like people talking about him because, you know, of who his dad is. But he is actually a very, very good wide receiver. Like, he's a very good route runner, especially on the medium routes. But he plays well on the boundary as well, and he uses his body quite well. You know, he has the as big body receivers go, he's quite agile. He's a good run blocker, which would keep him on the field. If you're a fantasy guy, you know, more opportunities come that way. I think he's quite inconsistent again getting open against press coverage, but that's, you know, due to his size, which he then on the flip side, he uses his body really well to sort of box out defenders. Just good, solid, safe hands, decent ball skills, helps out his QB a lot. I think my comp of him was Jahan Dotson, because I just quite like Jahan Dotson's ability to be quite solid in college. Like, he was a good, solid receiver, caught everything, didn't light the world up, but he was just really reliable. And I think that's what I see in Brendan Rice.
Yeah, that's very fair. Ash, who have you got up next?
We'll talk about the other Texas guy, I suppose, Danny Mitchell. Obviously, what he's done this year. There's talk that he could be the fifth guy. So, just break it down. They reckon that it could be obviously that you got the top three. Then it's Thomas, Worthy, and Adonai Mitchell is the kind of next three off the board in most people's eyes in regards to what Dan Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks and all these analysts are saying, Mel Kiper, etc. They're saying these are the next three. Obviously he's bigger as well, 6'2", carries the weight well. Again, my comp for him was kind of like a George Pickens in regards to what he does on the outside and can all them clutch moments. As I mean, when Texas really did want the game was on the line in some regards, it was going Adonis' way. So he does look the real deal, if I'm honest. He does look a very, very talented guy. And again, it could be down to maybe where he lands, etc., that if he pushes on in the next level. But yeah, everything that you see on tape, it does make you quite excited to see what he can do and produce at the next level.
Right, so we have spoken about. I've sort of lost count of how many we've done. That must be about 14, 15, maybe more. We won't do too many more in sort of full on detail, but I mean, Miles, is there any other players you want to give a shout out to? Any other business sort of thing?
I can't remember if I actually can't remember who we've mentioned. Have we mentioned Jermaine Burton yet?
We haven't, no. No.
Okay, I'll go with him because I actually have a surprisingly high grade on him. I just think he again, like, he doesn't do a lot wrong. I think he had some games that were stat padded by busted coverages, especially when he was at Georgia. But at Alabama, he just looked quite solid. Like, nothing like, oh my goodness, he's like the best wide receiver in the class. But he was just very consistent. He fought for yards quite a bit without losing the ball. He wasn't, guys like Odunze, like a bit loose with the ball when they fight for yards. But Jermaine Burton has just looked quite solid as someone that fights for yards. He beats guys deep, but got overthrown a lot. But yeah, got strong hands, tricky with the ball. I would say that he has a lot of evidence of him being good against zone rather than man, which, as we know, the next level they play a lot more man. But when he was called up to, against man coverage, he did seem to hold up well, but there's just not a ton of tape on it. But yeah, all round a really, really talented wide receiver. Again, it kind of just feels that ticks all the boxes of strong hands, good with the ball in his hands, fast, decent route runner, decent run blocker. Like, there are other guys that are better than him at all of those things, but he is not bad at any of them.
That can go a long way, can't it, to being good around. Anyone else, Miles? Anyone else you want to shout out?
Yes, there is one more. Very, very random, but I quite liked him. It is, where is he? I can't. Oh yeah, Tavion Robinson from Kentucky via Virginia Tech. Very, very thin root tree. Doesn't seem to have more than like five roots in his arsenal, but he's a very capable receiver. Although, again, mainly has success against zone, but he can run block to quite a lot of his tape was initially run blocking. But he has quite good rack ability, has some explosiveness. He's not huge, but positions his body well and has good balance. Strong hands, seems to catch everything. Jack of all trades, master of none kind of guy. He's a reliable player with some upside, but again, he's someone he's going to tumble down the draft because he's sort of not on no one's radar. But again, like another year, maybe we're talking about him differently, but he's just decent. But decent in this class is basically bad because everyone's so good. So yeah, but I liked him. He grew on me quite a lot.
Go on, Ash, give us a roundup of the other players that sort of need a mention, but maybe we're not going into full detail on. Maybe we'll do it another time, but
I mean, we'll probably touch on a few of these when we do like mock drafts and talk about a few things later on what people need. But obviously, other guys to keep an eye out, like McConkey from Georgia. Everyone knows about Ladd McConkey. He will be probably early round two guy to keep an eye on. There's not much in his arsenal that he can't do, and he is such a willing run blocker as well upfield. So he is one of them guys that the coaches will absolutely love. And that's why he'll go that high. Steve Smith's guy is Malachi Corley. If you've ever watched any of these Steve Smith tapes on Underdog and a few other things like that, Malachi Corley is the one that he absolutely loves. He's got a little bit of Golden Tate about him. And they call him he's known as the Yak King if anyone wants to watch some of his stuff. But he has like his game is very, very physical, loves to run through tackles. I am still a little bit skeptical about him, but you can see why, especially wide receivers would love him, especially like he says Steve Smith senior loves him that much. So yeah, that's a guy to keep an eye on. Devontae Walker, North Carolina. If anyone's watching Drake May tape, we'll see a lot of this guy. He'll probably be another day two guy. Xavier Leggett, out of South Carolina. They call him Mini Metcalf. Quite a big guy. But in regards to stature, how he looks physically on the field, but not probably as tall as Metcalf was.
My player
Jalen.
comp for him was AJ Brown, just to,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's not a bad shout. Jalen Polk, another guy that coaches will love, does all the dirty work across the middle of the field. Obviously, Roma Dunze's partner in crime. Same with Jalen McMillan, more of the th number three. Malachi Washington from Virginia, and there's another Washington out of USC. They're more of the slot wide receivers, I would say. Cowing as well out as Arizona is another slot guy. He'll probably go early day three. Isaiah Williams, another one. early day three. So they're just a few of the guys again that I would say is ones to keep an eye out. I think Jordan Whittington will be a day three from Texas. He's the third because there's a lot of trios really that have all declared together. Obviously, you've got the Washington trio, Texas trio. There's a couple of others I think there's quite a few this year. But yeah, there's again just a few names to keep an eye out. I think Mel Kiper likes Anthony Gould. From Oregon State. He's super quick, more of a punt returner. Reminds me of Darius Davis that came out from TCU last year that Chargers drafted. So, yeah, there's just a few names. I would say a bucket load of names. These guys will be gone in the top 120 picks. That's how good this class is. I mean, we've named probably 25 wide receivers and they will all be gone.
And that's before there's any potential surprise. Whilst isn't there some of these players that people like that maybe others haven't sort of rated that high, it's just a ridiculous class. Miles, I mean, you're our sort of fantasy guy. You sort of look at these players on that sort of aspect a lot. I mean, in rookie drafts, what have we got? 60 picks there? How many good games do you think are going to be wide receivers?
I mean, considering the running back class is not the strongest. I think most of the QBs will be gone by, you know, if you're talking 12 man leagues, most of the QBs are going to be gone at the end of the first round, which leaves a lot of wide receivers that are going to just tumble. So I've actually got some early firsts in quite a few seconds, because there's just going to be so much wide receiver talent just there, just sitting there for the taking. So, and the tight end class is bad. So, and last year it was really good. So we've done our tight ends. We don't need to draft tight ends this year. We are not drafting tight ends in 2024. We're just drafting wide receivers and maybe a running back in round three. But yeah, I think, you know, like I was dead set on just like, right, Harrison's my number one and then everyone else follows. And then as you watch all the tape, you're like, I don't mind missing out on Harrison because there are going to be some guys at the back end of one and early two in rookie drafts that are going to be startable every single week. So it's just, yeah, it's a great time to earn, to own a mid to early second for sure.
I mean, I remember when we did all our fantasy podcasts, you're always a big, you're always sort of saying, try and get an extra third in there.
Yeah, mate, running backs in the like third, that. There's always some value there. And this year...
This might be the year, it's even playing for wide receivers and stuff, isn't it? This is your year to shine when you've got some extra thirds.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good one. I'm sure, as I said, we'll definitely talk about some of these wide receivers when we do some mock drafts and things like that, because there's going to be a lot to talk about. But we will leave it there for the wide receivers. Miles, where can people find more from you?
At Miles Burrell on Twitter. I'm not calling it by the other name, so don't even, yeah.
And Ash, where can people find you on X?
I'm on, is it X, is it now?
It's Twitter.
At Tilsa999 is my X handle now, I suppose, is that what people
Boom.
Call it?
I'm still not sure what it's supposed to actually say. Is it like a tweet? Is it just
if
a
you
post
type
now?
In twitter.com, it comes up with the website, okay? So it's still Twitter, so yeah.
I feel like it's all just been a big prank that's just gone too far, hasn't it, really, and stuff. But, you know, we're one day it'll just be Twitter again. But you can find us at first and 10 underscore. So we're going to have a lot more of this draft stuff coming up. I think we've got 6 weeks left to do all sorts of stuff. We'll cover all the other positions, or most of them anyway. We might skip one or two here and there, but, you know, if we skip them, which is there, probably not worth talking about much. And, you know, in the past, we've done every position, and sometimes they're a bit of a struggle, some other ones. So
the punting and kicking podcast is being dropped. Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Okay. No, that one is definitely staying. We're bringing that in. But yeah, we'll do probably some more mock drafts this year than we did in other years and stuff like that, because ultimately they're a lot more fun to do, aren't they, for us? They're rather than talking about some random linebacker or something. It's, let's get some mock drafts going. But yeah, thank you to both of you for doing this again, and we will see you all next time.